Any boys or somebody we can pray for? Anybody else? Wisdom, Lord, to their lives, God, and help us all to see clearly, and pray for those who are dealing with sicknesses today, God, and just pray that you help them, Lord, bring healing, Lord, to those who need it according to your will, and just be with us, Lord, today. Guide us today. Help us to hear wisdom today. In Jesus' name. Okay. So, we're in Judith. We're reading chapter 4. So, King Nebuchadnezzar has sent out his leader of his army, and this man's name is Holofernes, or something like that, and he is just taking this giant army all across the land, and he's just destroying everybody who will not submit to Nebuchadnezzar, and they're just destroying everybody that is just not standing down. And just a giant army, and they even came to these cities where these people were, and said that the people there in chapter 3, they all, the people in all their surrounding countryside, they received him with garlands and dancing and timbrels. They were trying their best to not get destroyed. They were surrendering. And they even received them with dancing instruments and just trying to probably just not get destroyed. But it says that even still, he destroyed all their borders and cut down their sacred groves. For he had been given orders to demolish all the gods of the land. So all the nations instead would worship Nebuchadnezzar only. So Nebuchadnezzar, he was just trying to set him up, set himself up as God. And he was just going through and just making that happen. Forcing everybody to just serve him and to worship him. And it says chapter 4, when the Israelites residing in Judea heard everything that Holofernes, the commander of Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Assyrians, had done to the nations, and how he stripped and he demolished their temples, the Israelites were greatly terrified at his presence. They were troubled for Jerusalem and also for the temple of the Lord their God, for they had just recently come back from exile, and all the people of Judea had only recently been regathered, and the holy vessels, the altar, and the temple had been consecrated, having been profaned before. So now it's Israel, all the Israelites, they're hearing that this army is coming, and they are terrified. And I can understand that. That would just be pretty scary to hear that there's this giant I could just see how that would just strike fear into a lot of countries. And they were troubled for Jerusalem and also for the temple of the Lord their God. For they had just recently come back from exile. Sorry, let's give it down to 4. So they sent word into all the region of Samaria and to Kona, Beth Horon, Belmon, and to Jericho, and Choba, and Asora, and to the valley of Salem. Immediately they seized all the hilltops, and they fortified the villages in them, and stored up provisions in preparation for war, having just harvested their fields. Joachim, the high priest, who was in Jerusalem at that time, wrote to those dwelling in Bethulia and Beto-Methaim, which faces Esdraelon opposite the plain of Dothan. He ordered them, this is their high priest, he says, he ordered them to occupy the mountain passes, since Judea could be invaded through them. They were easy to defend, though, because the approach was narrow, with space for only 2 men at the most to pass. The Israelites did as instructed by Joachim, the high priest, and the council of all the people of Israel, which met in Jerusalem. And all the men of Israel cried to God with great fervor, and they humbled themselves in great somberness. They, their wives and children, their cattle, and all the strangers, the hired servants, and the purchased slaves, they put on sackcloth round their waist. All the men of Israel and the women and the children living in Jerusalem, they prostrated themselves before the temple. And, you know, that means they laid on their stomachs on the ground, got flat on the ground before the temple, and they put ashes on their heads and spread out their sackcloth before the face of the Lord. They also covered the altar with sackcloth and cried out fervently with one accord to the God of Israel that he would not allow their infants to be prey and their wives to be seized, that the cities they inherited would not be destroyed, that their sanctuary not be desecrated and then become a reproach to the gloating of the Gentiles. The Lord heard their cry and looked down on their affliction, for the people were fasting many days in all Judea and Jerusalem before the sanctuary of the Lord Almighty. I just thought maybe I'd just talk about that just for a few seconds, that says that, and all the men of Israel cried to God in great fervor, and they humbled themselves in great somberness. I was just thinking, you know, we could imagine that here is this bad thing that's going to happen. And everybody knows it's going to happen. Everybody knows this bad thing is coming. And there's really nothing that they can physically do, they feel, to stop it. That it's inevitable. It's coming, and they could all be destroyed. Their children could be killed. Their wives taken away. It could just be total just destruction. And basically, all they can do is, all they have left is God. And it's just a real amazing story. And how they just, you know, they realize their situation, and it looks like, it says with great fervor, they humbled themselves in great somberness. They really just got serious about trying to be close to God, trying to rely on God, trying to ask God for help. And, you know, I think that they were probably in a good standing with God at the time, which I think is a really good position to be in when trouble comes. That I think, for me, I kind of like to be in good standing with God before trouble comes, and be serving God even when things are good and there's no trouble. You know, it'd be hard, even harder, to come before God and ask for his help when I've been spending my life living the way I want to live and not following him, you know. I think it's a good position to be in, to be on God's side before you know. But even still, though, even if we're guilty of doing things wrong, that even still, coming before God and asking for his help is still our only hope. And God may have compassion on us and still help us, even though we hadn't been serving him. But I'd rather not bank on that. I'd rather already be on his good side. And so says, and Joachim, the high priest, and all the priests who stood before the presence of the Lord and served the Lord, having girded their waist with sackcloth, offered the continual whole burnt offerings and the votive and freewill offerings to the people. With ashes on their turbans, with all their strength, they cried out to the Lord to look with favor upon all the house of Israel. Okay. Well, I guess that's that. You boys can go ahead and do your lessons.
Our assignment was to get someone that God gave a free will. And God, Jesus told his disciples that he was the bread of life that came down from heaven. And most of them went away and didn't like him anymore and stopped walking with him. And then he said to the 12 disciples, "Will you go away also?" And Peter said that, "May that you're the bread of life." And
in John 12:35-36, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light.' These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them." So God gives us a choice whether we want to do right or wrong, and he will judge us accordingly.
We had the same assignment as the younger boys. And I thought of the rich young ruler. Jesus, he wondered what he had to do to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, "Sell all you have and give to the poor." He went away sorrowful because he had lots of riches. And God didn't force him to do what was right and follow him. He just left him go.
I thought of when God was looking for his disciples, or Jesus, he went and he saw James and John, and he told them to follow him, but he didn't force them to. They could have had a really good life fishing, probably, but they decided to just leave it all and follow him.
The rich young ruler was given the choice to either give up his riches and follow Jesus, or to keep him and be a really rich, wealthy person, and he decided to keep his riches and run away sorrowful.
In 1 Kings 8, it talks about how Israel wanted a king, but God didn't really want to give them a king because he wanted to keep it with the judges like it had been. But Israel wanted a king, so he gave them a king.
The Lord's a good shepherd, and he leads his sheep, and they hear his voice because they know that he laid his life down for them. And that's why we follow him, because, he's God for one thing. He made us, so he's worthy of being followed and served. But it's amazing that God went even further and just gave his life for us. And that's an encouragement to us to do the same for others. And I just thought how it's amazing how it's such a battle to keep that in perspective, that unselfishness and serving others. But it's a beautiful thing.
I thought about Jesus when he was calling his disciples. He gave all of his disciples a choice to follow him or not. And all of them followed him because they knew he was right.
Oh, we have a CD. It's called Lamplighters. And they're on CDs, and they're books from a long time ago. They're true stories. And there's this one where this boy is working on his father's farm. He lives on his father's farm. And he always dreams of going to Africa and finding diamonds and gold and stuff. And he was unhappy at his father's farm, so his parents just let him go to his uncle's print shop and forgot where it was at. But anyways, he went and hung out with bad friends, and he was getting drunk, and he was breaking light lamps from the on the street lights, breaking them with rocks and stuff, and he went to prison. His parents came up and paid his bond, paid him to get out of jail or whatever, and he still wasn't unhappy, still wanted to go to Africa, and his parents just let him go. And then after a while, he went and he came back home, and he was really mournful. I just think how God gives us our own choice, and we can go the right way or the wrong way, and just turns out to just be better to follow God.